them to be able to share Christ's love in Afghanistan, in a very difficult place. They're not there, they're here, but with the wonder of technology today, they're able to share Christ's love. And thank you for empowering Rob and Charlene, who are part of your group, to share in ministry with First Nations, to share Jesus in the context of First Nations. And then around the globe, thank you for sharing with Dan and Anne-Marie. What amazing young couple they are and their children in Mexico. Thank you. Continue to pray for them. I believe they're home right now. If you have a chance, connect with them. And then in Romania with Corey and Aaron Sixtrom and their children. I believe they're home on furlough at the moment as well. Pray for them and thank you. Think of the immense impact that you are having around the globe, and you haven't even gotten up really out of your chair. But thank you for giving and for praying. And this morning, I just want to share with you about someone else who's been on mission for his people in the country of Haiti. And I want to introduce you to Pastor Lizon. Pastor Lizon is the most cheerful, wonderful person. And he's about my age, which is still pretty young, I think. Some of you are in that era. And you know what? God can call us to do some pretty amazing things even at our age. And back about 8 years ago, Pastor Lizon was having a good rest. It was probably about the middle of the night. And he had a dream. And in that dream, someone came to him and said, I want you to take this regime of bananas, and I want you to take those bananas and share them in the community of Benoit. Now, Pastor Lizon, yes, I said he's from Haiti. He grew up in out in the rural area. So you can see a star down in the south. He grew up in the mountainous region in the southwestern part of Haiti in that peninsula. But he spent most of his adult years in Port-au-Prince. He was actually a military person working as a police person under the regime of Jean-Claude Duvalier. And then he became a truck driver, and he did a lot of voyages back and forth out to the southwest of Haiti. Very difficult travel out that way. And anyhow, God said, I want you to take these bananas. And I saw a couple of you carrying bananas this morning, Ryan, and I said, you're going to remember this sermon today. Someone else I saw carrying a banana too. So I want you to share these bananas out in Benoit. And at the time, the community of Benoit really wasn't named that. It was another name. So Pastor Lizon was kind of scratching his head, where really is Benoit? He had grown up a couple of mountain ranges over, but okay, he finally figured that out. But anyway, he went back to sleep, maybe had eaten too many bananas that day, thought he had heartburn, and didn't think anything of that until 2 years later. And this same person came to him. Now he recognizes that this is a vision, and God is speaking to him. And he asks him, Lizon, how's it going with the sharing of those bananas in the community of Benoit? And Lizon got up that day, and he went to see his lead pastor at the church. He and Pastor Josier worked together. Josier is a tad older than Lizon, but he's still the lead pastor there. And he asked Pastor Josier, what do you think this means, sharing bananas with the community of Benoit? And Pastor Josier said, well, that's a no-brainer. We're getting a delegation of people together, and we are going to go immediately out to the village of Benoit to share Jesus, the love of Jesus, with that community. And so that is exactly what they did. And from that point on, Pastor Lizon became the itinerant pastor out in that community. They began to raise up leaders, young leaders like Ferguerier and his aunt Serlid, and other young men and women to begin the church work. The church was being planted. Followers, people were becoming followers of Jesus because of the example of Pastor Lizon. And then over time, a church was built. It's a bit of a sketchy looking building, but it was built. It had a tin roof, and that's great. And they continued to minister. But around 2012, a young woman had a baby. in that community. Pastor Lizon happened to be in the community at the time. And as usual, babies are born in the night. And after the baby was born, the lady continued to bleed and continued to bleed. And because of the lack of any medical facility in the community, and because of the lack of anyone being willing to go out at night because of the fears of the darkness, and no one, probably even in the community, had a motorcycle to take her by moto taxi 20 miles to the nearest hospital, this lady died. And Pastor Lizon's heart was touched, and he went to the National Church. It was really right around the time that the National Church conference was happening, so January of 2013, and he got up in that conference and he shared that story and he said, "You have to help me. What will we do for this community of Benoit? They need medical care." And there was a nurse who works with public health in Haiti at that conference, and she came to Lizon after the service and she said, "I know what you need to do. You need to write a proposal of all the needs for that community and present that to the National Church Association, the IAM, Association des Églises Missionnaires, and then they will present that, if it's appropriate, to the EMCC in Canada." And so that is what he did. And soon after that, I got the email, and then we started to plan for a team. So early in January of 2014, we took a medical team. We purchased medicines in Port-au-Prince, and we loaded up our truck. And no, we didn't move to Beverly. We went to Benoit out in the rural area. And when they said we're going to Benoit, I thought, oh, piece of cake. I've lived in Haiti for a lot of years. This was a little different. We had a 7-hour ride. The first 2 hours, well, the first hour and some was to get out of the city of Port-au-Prince. And then the next hour and a half was on a nice highway. And then after that, I thought, oh, okay, how many more hours did he say? Okay. So another 5 hours riding. We were stuffed like sardines into our van, and we were riding over the mountains, and we eventually arrived in Benoit. And we provided clinic there just for that 5-6 days or so, but it was the beginning of hope and the beginning of opportunity. And then early in the fall, as you remember, well, then we took a team again in 2015. And then in the fall of 2016, as you remember, a massive, just a catastrophic hurricane hit the southern peninsula of Haiti and the southwestern part of Haiti and the southeastern part of Cuba, and was terribly devastating. And the area of Benoit, more central in that southern peninsula, wasn't affected as much. But when you say wasn't affected, people whose houses are built pretty flimsy in the beginning, when a heavy wind comes, everything is gone. There was heavy rains, and so it just basically washed the mud and wattle off of the sticks or stones, and then they just crumbled. Roofs were gone in minutes. I didn't think about this, but all of the chickens were blown away. Goats don't like wet weather, and so all of their goats died. Much of their food crops, the trees, were just totally riddled and gone. And so here we were in a massive crisis situation. Of course, we had the news at home, and we put out an alert on EMCC, and then we were able to do an emergency response at the end of December, or near middle of December of 2016, and then planned also to have a team in 2017. Part of the emergency response in that community was to do phase 3 of Homes for Haiti, and so many of you may have donated towards the hurricane crisis in Haiti, and thank you that those funds have been used towards the Homes for Haiti. The plan is to do 12 to 18 homes. Because it's such a remote community and so difficult to get there, the cost of the homes have gone up. So we're hoping to do between 12 and 18 houses. If you're still interested in giving and that's part of your heart, great. We would love to receive your funds, and we are going to continue to build. When Pastor Lizon wrote that initial proposal and sent that off to the committee, and then it came to Canada, he asked for a number of things. He said we need water in this community. He said we need health care. He said we need a school. The kids have to walk over a couple of mountains to get to school. It's sometimes close to an hour to get there. And then, well, we built a church, but after the hurricane, the church was gone as well. And so they wanted some help with a larger church. And so we had people here at home who were interested because the little church was gone and a new church building was erected in that community to the grace of God. And let me just share with you what the locals say about that church. They said, having this church in our community is like having a safe place to go. It's like having a police station where we can go and feel that we are safe, we are comfortable. In the community of Benoit, people are still living in darkness. There is a lot of darkness. And so before the team came to put the roof on the building, witch doctor kind of person, he's called a fakir, came and stood in the yard of that church, and he declared, put a curse on the church, and he said, that roof will never be put on this church. It will never happen. And so when the team arrived, and the next day they brought all their tools and started to get the generator running and things plugged in and ready to go, they saw this strange, seemed strange to them, a group of people just walking around on the inside of the church, just walking and talking. And of course, the team didn't speak Creole, so they didn't know what they were saying. But later I heard the story, and I heard that the fakir had come and put a curse on the church. And so I thought back to the first day when the guy said, they were walking around, that's really strange. They were praying. They were praying against the powers of the enemy. They were praying for protection of the team members. No one would fall off the roof, that no one would be injured in the project. And the roof was on within less than 7 days. Thank you, God. The team were grateful, but the local people who have become believers were saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you for providing a home, a safe place for us to worship. We kind of take those things for granted here, and we kind of don't really understand the power of the evil one who does not want the gospel to go forward. So thank you all who have contributed in many ways over the years towards projects and teams and actually going. It's just amazing. We had a little dedication of that church building. No, it's not quite finished. The team didn't intend to do everything. They went to put the roof on. There's funds left to help them put the floor in and to get windows and doors and a security gate. And that, we hope, is accomplished. But the good news is, it's not finished. The project is not finished yet. That proposal that Pastor Lison wrote, we haven't checked off the last things yet. And one of the things was the need for a clinic, as I mentioned. And so back in 2010, after the horrific earthquake in Port-au-Prince, EMC responded by doing prefab homes. So we sent a number of homes prefabricated in containers, and they were assembled in Haiti, but up in the plateau. And there's a model home sitting on the property at La Gêne, and it has not been used. And so we proposed that that building be disassembled, because they are, that can happen. They're just about 3-inch insulated panels, and so they can be taken apart. There's a team that's coming in February 20. The team will arrive in Port-au-Prince. We will go up to La Gêne, take the building down, and load it onto a truck, drive it to Port-au-Prince. We need to buy some new windows and doors, so that funding has come. We need all of the screws and all of those things, the caulking to put it back together. But we will have the new home of the Benoit Clinic. Thank you, Jesus. And I know that the community is totally blessed. And so on behalf of Pastor Lison, his smile just gets bigger every time I see him. And you know what? As followers of Jesus, We are on mission to the world. I didn't have a chance to take your picture and put it up there, so I put Pastor Joel's up there, and I put Pastor Lisa and Pastor Josier, and I put young Erlinda, because you know what? God is calling out young people. He's calling out children. When I first had an inkling about who Jesus was, it was when I was a little child going to Sunday school. And so, young children, talk to your children and be willing to say to your children, we are followers of Jesus. And you know what? It could be around the corner in Kitchener, in Waterloo, out in Plattsville. It could be that God wants your child, your grandchild, to go maybe across the water somewhere. And so pray for them and consider what it is that God is calling you. We are followers of Jesus. We're on mission. We're in a community of followers on mission to the world. Is that spending more time praying for those missionaries you are supporting here? Is it giving more? What is it that God is challenging you today? Just want to share really briefly before my time ends about some of the things, the opportunities that you can be part of. Hey, Julie's been off to Tanzania once or twice. Yes. Awesome. And we're hoping to, well, I better keep to my notes here, but I'm talking about medical teams to Haiti. So has anybody been on a medical team to Haiti here? Okay. Alrighty. Yes. with MCC just post earthquake, and that would have been a traumatic type of experience to be part of that. Thanks for going. There are opportunities to go not only on medical teams, but on other kinds of teams to Haiti. So we work with the AEM in Haiti, and we have a clinic in Jean Denat in the north. And so if I'm planning a team, let me know, and I would love to have you partner and come alongside. And of course, we have the Benoit Clinic. We are not depending on us as foreigners to run those clinics, and I am praying that God will lead local people who are nurses and doctors to go and work in that clinic in the same way that we have an established clinic up in the north part of Haiti. So I've got a couple of stars on the map there. The star in the northeast is the community of Jean Denat, which is where we have the main clinic. There's a clinic not functioning at the moment at La Gêne, and then in the south. And then we have the AEM medical teams that traditionally go about every 2 years to Tanzania. So we're looking at 2019, potentially April. Not sure of those dates yet, but email me, talk to me, and I would happily give you more information. We work along with the Urafiki Health Clinic, and that's with the Missionary Revival Church in the country of Tanzania, in just south of Lake Victoria. And then, just to whet your appetite a little bit, we usually do an overnight 24-hour safari, because how can you go to Tanzania without checking out the lions and the giraffes, doing a safari in the Serengeti? It's absolutely a beautiful part of God's creation. And then we have partnerships and projects, not only with the AEM in Haiti, but in India. I was just in India last year, this time, around this time, and we worked alongside, partnered with the SHUATS, which is Sam Higginbotham University of Agriculture, Technology, and Sciences. It's a mouthful, and it's a huge Christian university that God is using to train leaders. He's using it to train nurses and other professionals, pharmacists. And Yeshu Dabar is a local, an indigenous church in India, in Allahabad. Do I have a map here yet? Not quite yet. I want to get to that. It's a church that they don't call themselves a church. It is Jesus Court. Christianity has a bad name in India, and so they are followers of Jesus on mission and sharing Christ's love. And so we have these partnerships. There are opportunities More churches need building. So if you're a construction person, you'd like to do some construction work, talk to me, and we could work something out. Church in Caris, and then Bois de Lorraine. So just letting you know that it's up in that northeastern part. In Haiti, the proverb is, over one mountain, another mountain. So you just wind your way up. This happens to have a little bit of cement on it, this part of the road, but believe you me, it's not like that always. To the village, a city, small city of Caris, and meet with Pastor Roque and Jacques, and they would happily tell you what their needs are. They're a growing church. They have somewhere between 800 and 1,000 people as members. And if you're not interested in that one and you need another mountainous ride, usually we take a motorcycle from Caris, go on over the mountains a little bit to the community of Bois de Lorraine. And Bois de Lorraine also is in need of a church building. They're usually structures about this size, and usually our teams allow the locals to do the cement work, and then we come alongside and do the construction of the roof and put the tin on. And as I mentioned, we have connected with Uttar Pradesh, which is a state in the northern part of India. And we go to Allahabad. And Uttar Pradesh, if it was its own country, would be the fifth largest population in the world. Heavily populated, almost 90-plus percent Hindu. Not very many people know Jesus as personal Savior. We are supporting students. You will see that in the brochure if you're interested in supporting a nursing student. We are also working with a sanitation project in Kolkata. And then if you really want to get involved and be there and financially commit for a longer term, Yeshu Mahila Ashray is the name of a girls' home, a shelter for girls who have been brought off the street by Sister Sheba. And Sister Sheba she's a lawyer, by the way, and she has a real heart for helping her people, the young girls in her communities. And so with EMCC and Yeshu Dabar, we're looking at constructing a home for these children, daughters of Jesus. And so it will be one of those prefab buildings, I believe, but it's going to cost a little bit. And so pray that those funds would come in and we will be greatly blessed. And if you're interested in going, I'll probably send you to talk to Pastor Joel, who is my boss, and we would figure something out. So what is your story today? You're on mission around the world. What does God have for you? What's going on around the world is as close as the remote on our TVs, for our TVs. We can find out what's happening, and we know that there's lots of challenging things happening in the globe. And sometimes it's easy to say, well, that's far away. But you know what? We live in a global village. And God has called us to be faithful and to pray for the needs around the globe. Does he want you to partner with one of these projects? Take on one of the projects in the brochure? Does he want you to pray, to form another prayer team, and to just really push in and ask God to just really make a difference, that the impact that the Sixstroms have would be much larger in their next term than it has been before? Does he want you to join a team, to go and to pray and to partner in wherever he's leading you? Or would he have you to support someone who's going, either on a construction team or as a medical worker? Consider the vision that Pastor Lison had of those bananas. Has he given you some vision like that? Something ordinary, but you're asking God, what is it? Okay, I have a whole regime, not just a little bundle of bananas like I buy at Zaire's. But this whole regime, he's given us these in our hands. What does he want us to do with those? Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Marilyn. If you just stay here, I'm just going to pray for you and close out the service here. Father, thank you for Marilyn and sharing with us the good work that's been done in Haiti. Lord, in our Western world, in our individual lives, we sometimes lose sight of what you are doing around the world and the great needs that people have that we do take for granted here. God, I thank you for these words of Marilyn, and I ask that you would call each and every person to truly think and pray and ask you, what is the question, or what is it that you would have me do, Lord? Would you have me give, or would you have me go, or just pray? Lord, I just ask, Spirit, I ask that you would fill our hearts with those questions and allow us to just go deeper with you as we do so. God, thank you for Marilyn. Bless her in her work, and bless her just as she continues to inspire and share this good work that's been done. In your name I pray, amen. Thank you. All right, we're glad that you could join us this morning, and